This way, okay.
Okay, so again, I'm Rabbi Chinyan. I introduce you to Rabbi Shetelah Tefillah. We're down on the bottom of Chaf Daled Amud Aleph. I saw Rabbi, he was hung his tefillin on a peg. The Gemara says, Meister, we have a brace that says, Atoa Tefillah Yitgul Chayev, that if you hang your tefillin haphazardly, that's disrespectful, and therefore Yitgul Chayev, your life is going to be suspended. Darshe Chamuro Samru, these people who interpreted hidden meanings in various psukim, they quoted the pasuk Vayuchayecha Tulim, a pasuk from Devarim, that says that their life will be suspended. This is referring to someone who hangs his tefillin up on a peg. So this is all a question to Rebbe. Well, Kasha, it's not a question. There's a difference between hanging your tefillin by the strap versus one who actually hangs the tefillin by the box itself. If you hang it by the strap, that's no good because that looks like you're just haphazardly throwing it up on the peg. But if you put it on the box, if you kind of respectfully hang it in a more respectful way, that's okay. Vibai same. Alternatively, loshna ritsua vloshna katsitsa usser. Another approach is that it's no different whether you do it on the strap or whether you do it on the box. Both instances are usser. V'chitala Rebbe bekisita. And what Rebbe hung was the pouch, was the tefillin bag. The Gemara says, Yachi Milo Membra, to say that he hung the bag, why is that even worthy of mentioning? That is not disrespectful at all. You know, we hang like a bag by its strap all the time. There's nothing at all problematic with that. So, Ma'u Detema Tibai Hanacha Kesefer Torah, you might think that it rises to the level of a Sefer Torah, where a Sefer Torah, you have to kind of very respectfully put it in the Aron, you have to have it standing upright. Kamashmon, so this comes to teach you that that's not the case, and that even hanging it from a bag, from a peg, is not a problem. Okay, V'yom Rabbi Chanina, Ani Ra'isi Es Rabbi Shegiek U'Piek V'Nis'atesh, I saw Rabbi that he giek, he belched, he let air out of his mouth, upihek, he yawned, vinisatesh, he spit on the ground. Vinisatesh, he sneezed, virak, he spit on the ground, umimashbesh, bibigdo, and he ruffled up his garment to get rid of something that was biting him or something, some kind of bug. Avalohaya misatef, but he would not wrap himself in his talus. When his talus would kind of fall, he would let it fall. He wouldn't be bothered with rearranging his talus while he was davening Shemoneh Esrei. Ukishu mefaik, and when he would yawn during the Shemoneh Esrei, hayameniach yado al santaro, he would place his hand upon his chin, which is probably good manners anyway. At least nowadays we know that that's good manners. He would place his hand to cover his mouth. Meisve. So this is the question on this is the following. Hamashmiya kolo bitfilaso hareza mikatne amana. So someone who davens out loud enough for his voice to be heard, he's considered that he doesn't have enough emuna.
As if
HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hear you. Like you have to yell out. I remember once in yeshiva, I in Karen Biavna, it was... I used to daven next to a guy who had this thing that he would yell his davening. It was I should have, if I knew this Gemara at the time, I would have quoted this Gemara to him, but I didn't.
There's some Nasi there who are known to be
very loud. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so this is what the Gemara says. Hamagbiya, so it's Harim Mashua Kol Bitfilaso, Harizam Mikatne Amana, Hamagbiya Kolo Bitfilaso, and if you raise your voice in your davening, similarly, you're like the false prophets. If you belch or you yawn during davening, then it's like you're haughty because you're like very relaxed about having good manners during davening. And if you sneeze during davening, simon rolo, then it's a bad simon. It's a bad simon. It's not good. V'yesh omrim nikar shu mechuar. It shows that you are just like an ugly kind of person. Harak b'tfilaso, someone who spits during his tfila. Kilu rak b'fnei hamelech, it's as if you spit before the king. It's not a nice thing to do. So Gemara says, Bishlam megahik u'mefahik Well, Kashya, so this is a question because we said above that, what was it, Rebbe? We said above that Rebbe would do all these things during Tefillah, right? Yeah, we said Rebbe did all these things during Tefillah. So how do you explain that? So the Gemara says, Bishlama, where am I? Bishlama megahik umefahik. So we understand that when it comes to belching and yawning, we could say, well, kasha kanlo onso, kanlo ritzono. Rebbe, when he said that Rebbe did, when Rebbe Chanina said that Rebbe did this, he meant to say that Rebbe did this when it just happened. You couldn't control it, right? And spontaneously belched or yawned. What's Megaik? Not belching? Megahik. Yeah, I think the guy is belching. So he said that happened just spontaneously. He couldn't control himself and it just came out. And when the Brisa said that you shouldn't do it, that means you should try to control it. But if it happened, it's not the end of the world. But how do you explain the in terms of sneezing? The Gemara is assuming that you could control your sneezing. You can control your sneezing. So the answer is misatish misatish namil kasha kan milamala kan milamata. The word misatish, we were translating it as sneezing, but it could alternatively be translating it as someone who's passing gas, and that's the problematic one. And when we said that Rebbe did it, that was meant to be sneezing, but when the Gebraisa says you shouldn't do it, that's the problematic one, that's passing gas. Dam Rebbe Zera, Hamilsa, Ibala li. Bei Rabbi Hamnuna, the following thing I learned in the yeshiva of Hamnuna, v'takiluli kikulei talmudai. And he says, this is like my favorite thing, it's equal in all my learning, and that's the following. Is equal to all the rest of my learning. Hamis atesh b'tfilaso siman yafilo, kishem sh'osin lo nachas ruach milamata, kach osin lo nachas ruach Milamala. So he says that someone, this is what he learned in Bei Rav Hamnuna, one who sneezes during davening, it's actually a siman tov, it's a good thing, that just like sneezing is a very pleasurable thing, you kind of feel relief when you sneeze, so you're kind of saying, I'm feeling this relief, so too, kach osin l'nachas ruach milamala, so too they give me satisfaction up above. My feelings should be answered, it's kind of a siman that's the case. So again, this is evidence, the fact that sneezing is not a terrible thing. In fact, according to this member, it's a good thing. Good. So that was sneezing. El raka rakasha. How do you explain the kasha in terms of spitting? We said that Rebbe would spit during davening, and this Brisa says that spitting is not appropriate. Raka rak nami gol kasha, so spitting on spitting is also not a contradiction. Efshar kid Rabbi Yehuda, because maybe he's following Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda hayomid b'tfila v'nizdamid gol rak avlio b'taliso. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're davening and all of a sudden you get phlegm or spit in your saliva in your mouth, you should kind of put it into your talis, into your garment. Vimtalis noehu, but if you don't want to put it into the, a nice garment, if it's a nice garment, you don't want to put your spit in it, your phlegm in it. Mavuyo bak pikursoso, then you should put it in your turban, which I guess maybe is not as nice. There, you're more willing to put it.
Maybe the talis is actually a handkerchief.
That could be. Yeah, it's not necessarily the talis that we think of. The
talis, especially for that in their pocket.
Yeah, I don't. Talis is that. That's, talus usually refers to something that you're wearing. I don't think it's necessarily the talus that your tzitzis are on, but it might be just your garment. I don't know. I guess nowadays, for sure, if you have a handkerchief, if you have a tissue, that's ideal. Put it there. But he seems to be saying even put it in your garment. If your garment's too nice to do this, then you should put it in your turban, in the thing that you're wearing on your head. But the point is here that this is the answer to what Rebbe was doing, because Rebbe presumably was following Rabbi Yehuda's advice, or is consistent with that which Rabbi Yehuda said, that you could put it in your garment, put it in your handkerchief, let's say, maybe your garment, whatever it is, and that's better than spitting it on the ground. That's what the Braisa said you shouldn't do. Good. Ravina havakai achored Rabbi Ashi. So Ravina was standing behind Rabbi Ashi while Rabbi Ashi was davening. Nizdaming lo rok, and Rav Ashi kind of conjured up some spit in his mouth, saliva in his mouth, and paske la'achorei, and he threw it behind him. Amar lei, so Ravina said to Rav Ashi, lo savra lamar lohad Rav Yehuda, don't you hold of, have you heard of what Rav Yehuda says, that you could put it in your garment, put it in a cloth, that mavlio ba'pikar suso, you could put it in your turban. Amar lei, ana anina datai. So he says, I am very sensitive. I'm like an istinus. I have kind of very delicate sensibilities, and therefore, that's not good for me. I wanna spit it out. Spitting it out is a more appropriate way for me. I think in the old days, spitting saliva was much more acceptable. I remember when I learned this Gemara years ago, that was what I was told, that in the old days, people used to, like, they would have spittoons. Right? People would spit. It was kind of, I think people were less healthy then maybe, and they were all coughing up phlegm, and so they would spit it in the spittoons and spit it on the ground. Nowadays,
maybe also the shuls didn't have a nice carpet.
And they didn't have nice carpet. Yeah, it was great. But even nowadays, if you're like in among company, you don't usually spit on the ground, even on the dirt, you know? I think it's like that in terms of the etiquette, that's changed over time. Okay, the Gemara then quoted above, Hameshmiya kolo bitfilaso hareze mikatne amana. Someone who davens out loud is considered of little faith. Amrav, huna lo shanu el shiyachol chavin es libo belachash. That is only true if you're able to concentrate while you're davening quietly, if it works. Aval in yachol chavin es libo belachash mutter. But if you can't concentrate by doing it quietly, then it is mutter to do it out loud. And that's if you're davening at home. That's davening alone. But when you're davening with a tzibur, so then if you were to do it out loud, do it loudly, then you'd be bothering the people around you. That's not appropriate. Rav Abba hava kamishtamit minei de Rav Yehuda de hava kaboi lamesech l'arad Yisrael. So Rav Abba was trying to avoid Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Abba wanted to make Aliyah. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yehuda told him he shouldn't do it. Dam Rabbi Yehuda kol olam mibavel Eretz Yisrael over ba'asei. Rabbi Yehuda said, if you move from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you're over an asei. Shenemar bavela yuvu v'shama yiyu ayon pakti osam num Hashem. Because the Navi said, Yirmiyah said, when he was talking about the Churban, we're talking about the Galus Bavel, he said that you're going to be in Bavel, you should stay in Bavel until you're redeemed. So Rabbi Yehuda understood that to mean literally that you should not leave Bavel and go to Eretz Yisrael. It would be inappropriate to do so. And yet Rabbi Abba wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, so he was trying to avoid Rabbi Yehuda, who would have given him grief for doing so. Amar, Ezel v'eshma minei milsa mi beis vada. He said, let me go, I'm going to like hang out for outside the base marriage, I'll learn something, and then I'll leave. Because again, he was trying to avoid Rabbi Yehuda. Azal, so he went and he tried to do this, and guess what happened? Azal, Ashkeche Watana de Katani Kamed Rabbi Yehuda, and he found a Tana who was teaching in front of Rabbi Yehuda. And this was the following braisa that he taught. Haya omeid bitfila v'nis'atesh mamtin ad sheyichla haruach v'chozer mispalel. So if you are davening and you pass gas, so you should wait until the odor passes and then return to where you left off. Then you continue your tefila.
So here they're talking about passing gas and not sneezing.
Here they're talking about passing gas. That's right. So, there are those who say that this was the following. That the following was what he was teaching him. If you're davening and you feel the urge to pass gas. Marchik la'achorav David Amos umisatesh. You should step back for Amos and pass the gas. Umamtinat shichar ruach, and then wait until the odor passes. V'chozer mispawel, and then you should continue your davening. V'yomer, and then you should say the following: Ribono sholom, yitzartanu. This is like a variation of Asher Yatzer for someone who passed gas. Very interesting. So he says, Rabbi, you should say Ribono sholom, yitzartanu nekavim nekavim chalim chalim. You built us with various cavities and openings. Galui v'yadua lefanecha, it's known before you. Cherpasenu uklimasenu b'chayenu v'achris cherpasenu uklimenu b'chayenu, that we're very, you know, very shamed and humiliated during our lives. Uva'achrisenu rima v'soleya, and after our death, we kind of decay into worms and maggots. Umaschil, so that's the little tefillah that he should say. And then umaschil mimakom shapasak, and then he should pick up his davening from the place where he stopped.
You're just assuming that there's nobody Dalai Amos from here? Or the next guy?
I guess there's nothing you could do. I think the problem here is that it's kind of involuntary, right? You can't keep...
Well, then go away Dalai Amos from your spot. I'm saying, assuming nobody else is around you?
You're saying what? You're saying if other people are around you, you're moving Dalai Amos is not going
to
help because...
Or I'm
Right. Yeah, I guess that. Yeah, I guess common etiquette dictates you don't move closer to someone else. Yeah, you move. I guess that was from other away from everyone,
from the last person.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good point. Fine. And then you say this little mini Asher Yatzer, this variation of Asher Yatzer, and then you continue davening from where you left off. Amar Lei. So again, this was the Braisa in the second version that Rabbi Abba heard from. The person who was learning this in front of Rabbi Yehuda, again, Rabbi Abba was trying to avoid Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Abba then felt very good that he had gone to the Beis Medrash to hear some Torah. Amar Lei, Iugu Abasi El Lishma Davar Zeh Daye. If I would have only come to the Beis Medrash to hear this thing, that would have been sufficient. In other words, this is a very significant teaching. I'm very happy that I learned it. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, Haya Yashan B'Taliso. So if you are sleeping, covered only in your blanket, let's say, and you can't stick your head out because it's too cold. Now the problem is, the question is, you're not wearing any other clothing, so you're just wearing a blanket. And the question is whether it's okay to say a bracha, or to daven, or to say Shema in this instance, without, this is the issue of libo roes ha'erva. If there's no, you're not wearing a, you know, underwear, a garto, any kind of elastic that's dividing between your lev and your erva, and it's just you're wearing this big blanket, you're completely covered in it because it's too cold. So what do you do? So the Gemara says, Hayashim b'taliso v'neyachol otzias roshim b'neyatsina, chotzeitz b'taliso al tzavaro v'kore kriyashma. So you can't just kind of use this now as the gartel. You can't put the blanket down at your waist because then it's just too cold. It's you're freezing. So the Gemara suggests what you should do is put the blanket at your neck, and that's good enough if you partition the head from the rest of the body, and then you could say Shema. Alibo. And some say that you should put it on your chest, on your heart area. The Tanakama, so the Gemara then says, the Tanakama who said the neck and not the heart, right, that you should put the blanket at the top, at the neck, Hare libo roa esa erva. So the Tanakama runs into a problem here, because if you just put this blanket at your neck area, so then you have a straight line of vision from your lave to the erva, and that's inappropriate. So the Gemara answer is Kasavar libo roesa erva mutter. So apparently the Gemara concludes the Tanakhama seems to say that libo roesa erva is not a problem. It's permitted to say Shema with a straight line of sight between the lev and the erva. Amrav Yehuda, Amrav Huna, Amrav Yochanan, Hayam Mahalich b'mavuos hamitunafos meiniach yado al piv korek Shema. If you're walking in alleyways that are very dirty, there's waste on the side, etc. And it comes time to say Kriya Shema. So what do? You place your hand over your mouth to recite Kriya Shema. Amroi Rav Chista HaElokim. So Rav Chista was very surprised by this advice. He said, oh my gosh, im amro li Rabbi Yochanan bipumei lo tzaisina la. If Rabbi Yochanan had told me this directly, if I had heard this rule from Rabbi Yochanan's very own mouth, I would not have listened to him. Meaning it had been quoted by Rav Huna in the name of Rav Yochanan, and Rav Chista said to Rav Huna, I can't believe Rav Yochanan himself said that. Even if I've heard that directly from Rav Yochanan, I wouldn't have listened to him. Ikad Amri, another variation of this. Amar Rabba Baruch Chana, Rav Yeshua Melevi, Hayim Ha'ich Ben Vavos HaMetuf Nafos, Menech Yadu Al Piv, V'Kori Kriya Shema. Quoting, again, different Amorim have said this. This version says, Rabba Baruch Chana said in the name of Yeshua Ben Levi, Amar Rav Chista HaElokim, Im Amar Li Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Pumei Votzai Sinolei. Same idea. Rav Chista said, I can't imagine that Rav Yeshua ben Levi really said that. If I even heard that from the name, from the mouth of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, I wouldn't have listened to that. Umiyamar Rav Huna Hachi, did Rav Huna really say this? Was he really so surprised to hear this advice? Umiyamar Rav Huna, didn't Rav Huna say, Tamid Chacham Asr Olamud Bimakam Tunofes, Wafishi Efshar Olamud Bli Hirur Torah? So Rav Huna says that a Tamid Chacham is not allowed to stand in a very dirty place because he's always thinking Torah thoughts. And so the question is, if Rav Huna doesn't allow, how does this work here? If Rav Huna prohibits thinking about Torah things in a filthy place, and that's why he says the Talmud Chacham shouldn't stand in a filthy area, so then certainly he prohibits reciting Shema there. He certainly would prohibit reciting Shema there, even if you cover your mouth. What Amuya just said, so, and we had just said that Rav Huna himself said that you can just cover your mouth as the solution, right? So, Lakasha, so the answer is not a problem. Kan be'omed kan be'mahalich. It's one thing to stand. If you're standing, then you shouldn't do that. I mean, you shouldn't stand, the Talmud Chacham shouldn't stand in a dirty place because he's thinking Torah thoughts. Kan be'mahalich, but he's more lenient if you're moving. If you're moving through a dirty place, then you can say Shema while covering your mouth. That's good enough. So the Gemara then says, Umiyomar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really state what we just said above, that he stated that you could cover your mouth and say Kriya Shema? V'yomar Abba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bekol Makom, Mutter Laharher B'divrei Torah, Chutz Mibeis HaMerchas, Mibeis HaKisei. We know Rabbi Yochanan said that you're not allowed to think about Divrei Torah in a Beis HaMerchas and a Beis HaKisei in a bathroom. So why did we just finish saying that he said that if you're walking in a dirty place, you can say Kriya Shema by just covering your mouth? Maybe you'll make the same distinction we said above for Rav Huna, that one is where he's standing and one is where he's walking through. Where he's walking through, we're more mekil. We know a story happened where Rabbi Avohu was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan and reading Kriya Shema, Kimata bimavuos hametunavos ishtek. And when he came to these dirty places, he stopped saying Kriya Shema. Amar leilu Rav Yochanan leichan ahader. So he said to Rav Yochanan, where should I go back to? Meaning I had a pause because I was in a dirty place. Now that I'm ready to restart my saying Kriya Shema, where should I go back to? Where should I pick up? Amar leilu im shahisa kadei ligmar eskula choza orosh. If you paused long enough to that it was long enough to say the entire Shema, so then you should go back to the beginning. So this is all a question because here was a situation where they were walking through and yet he stopped saying Kriya Shema. So you can't say the distinction is whether he's walking or standing still. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Kamralayo, Lidi Di Lo Sfira Li. I don't hold this all together, but Lididcha, De Sfira Lach, He says, according to me, I would adopt this distinction and say if you're walking through that you don't have to stop. But according to you who did stop, because you don't hold of that and you think that you should stop regardless if you're walking through a dirty place, so then if you stopped long enough to say the entire Kriya Shema, you should go to the beginning. Tanikavasei Rav Huna, Tanikavasei Rav Chista. So now we have two brises that support either Rav Huna or Rav Chista on this issue of whether you can say Kriya Shema by just covering your mouth in a dirty place. Tanya Kravasei Rav Huna. We have one supporting Rav Huna. Hamalich b'mavuos hamitunafos miniach yado al piv v'yikri Kriya Shema. Very simply, it states exactly what Rav Huna said, that you can cover your mouth and say Kriya Shema. And alternatively, Tanya Kavasei Rav Chista. We have a braisa that's consistent with Rav Chista. Hamalich b'mavuos hamitunafos. If you're walking in a dirty place, lo yikri Kriya Shema. You should not say Kriya Shema in any event, even by covering your mouth. V'go, oh, not only that, but elish im haya kore uba posek. So that if you were saying Kriya Shema and then you happened upon the dirty place, you should stop saying Kriya Shema. So it's not only that you shouldn't start, but that you should stop. Lo pasak mai. What happens if you didn't stop saying Kriya Shema? You continue to say it. Amar of Miasha bar Berei Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Alav Akasuv Omer. This is what the pasuk refers to when it says Vigamini nasati lachem chukim lo tovim mishpatim lo yichyeh. This is what the pasuk refers to when it says I gave them decrees that were no good and laws by which they could not live. And laws which they could not live, by which they could not live. I'm just looking at the bottom of the art score. Rabbeinu Yonah says that what's the connection between this pasuk and this? That since the person performed the mitzvah of reciting the Shema while simultaneously committing the sin of reciting in a filthy place, it turns out he negated the goodness of the life-giving cause. Right, he kind of negated any benefit he got by saying Shema by the fact that he did it in a makom hametunaf. Ravasi Omar have moshchei ha'avon b'chevlei hashav. This is a pasuk in Yeshaya, I think. Yeah, it looks like Yeshaya. Have moshchei ha'avon b'chevlei hashav. Which they translate here as woe to those who pull iniquity upon themselves with cords of falsehood. Again, the same idea. You're yatza scharo b'efsedo, that you said Shema, which is great, but you said it in a dirty place, so it kind of takes away entirely from anything you accomplish. Rav Ada bar Ava Amar Mehacha, he quotes a different pasuk, ki dvar Hashem biza, that you were mevaze the dvar Hashem. You were disrespectful to the dvar Hashem, to that which Hashem said. Vim pasak mascharo. And on the other hand, if you're in the middle of say Kriya Shema and you're in, come across a dirty area and you stop, what's the benefit? What's the schar you get? Amar Rabbi Avo, alav akasiv omer ubidvar hazeh tarichu yamim. You're gonna be rewarded with arichus yamim, with elongation of your days. Okay, should we stop there? That's a good place to stop, I think, right? Did we do, how much did we cover? Do we...